Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kedsource family production. In this episode, we are going to talk about building a ref business, the value of one, and the game of basketball. Our guest today is Dominique Lawrence, owner of Always Official and CSO at Reach Socks. Dominique, who goes by the name Damo, lives in Salem, Oregon. Damo is an inspiring individual that wants to change the game of basketball for the better. He is not your traditional referee, and that will be obvious once you hear him share his perspectives. Damo is a type of entrepreneur that anyone can learn from and be motivated by. At the same time, Damo is a nonstop learner. And with that thirst for knowledge, let's not wait any longer. Let's get into it. Damo, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives Podcast. Great to have you.
Hey, man. It's great to be here. I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. So we're going to get started with 10 questions requiring a little bit more thoughtful response and end with 10 rapid-fire questions. You ready to get going?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Getting started. You're a referee. I got to know, what's it like when coaches or parents are yelling at you during a game while you're reffing?
Honestly, for me, seeing how I have a lot of playing experience and I'm one of those high energy guys, it doesn't really bother me that much because I've been in so many games that anyone that's standing outside of the lines don't faze me. But initially, like my first like tournaments or first couple tournaments, it was one of the scariest things I've ever done,
yeah.
Especially on a basketball court. Never thought I would be that afraid on the basketball court. And it's like actually blowing that whistle when you actually see something is hard because, you know, it's kind of like that fear that kid has when they pass him the ball. You know, all the eyes are on you. Everyone's focused on you. It's all about you. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you know you're going to get ridiculed. But that's a player or a referee. And so that's always scary. Like, you know, I'm teaching my little brother. He's 15 and he has to go through it. He just started, you know, and he told me he's nervous. Like he's been reffing for 2-3 weeks and he's like, yeah, I'm nervous, bro. Like I'm scared to make that call because I don't want anyone to yell at me. I said, bro, it's like trying to be the president. No matter what you do, half of the people are gonna disagree with what you want to do, with what you do in your job. Half of the people are gonna hate you because you're just doing your job. Don't worry, the kids are already over it. The parents and the coaches will get over it soon enough. You know.
Yeah.
So, to just go back to the main part of the question, it's not that bad for me, but for a lot of people, it can be really stressful or scary.
Yeah, it takes a certain kind of someone to be able to put yourself out there in that polarizing position. That to be able to handle, like you said, half the people are going to love it, half the people are going to hate it. And the hate is the hard part that you probably have to deal with every single day. But I think that also goes to show you, being an entrepreneur like you are, and we're going to get into, I think that is a position that you're able to put yourself into. And I'm sure it helps you in the business world as well. So let's go down that path a little bit. I think a part of that, though, is about you. You know, you've heard the intro about you. I can't do you justice in one opening statement. So I want you to tell the audience something real about you that we don't know yet.
Well, if there's anybody out there who doesn't follow me on Instagram, it's at damo.sama, S-A-M-A. And that's, I'm teaching myself to become a basketball sensei. And the basketball sensei is, if you've seen Avatar, The Last Airbender, I personally feel I've been called to save and change the world of basketball. And that's through learning and mastering the four perspectives, or I call them the four pillars of basketball. And that begins in no particular order. It's the coach, the official, the trainer, and the parent when you're talking youth levels, or the spectator when you get to the higher levels. And to master those four, I can then become the best player I possibly can. and that's on and off the court, because I plan to teach basketball like it's a martial art. So I want to teach the wax on, wax off part of the game. I want to teach how life correlates with the game from all four of these perspectives, because all four of these perspectives impact and influence the player. You know, all four of those, I didn't mention the player in those four pillars, but all four of those pillars are at every single basketball game. Every time, no matter what, there will always be a coach, a ref, someone in the stands, and there's a trainer involved. There's trainers involved. And I just plan to master all those things and gain those perspectives so I can become a better me off the court. So that's just something about me, as far as why I'm doing what I'm doing, the perspective I'm doing it from. And there's just really nothing else about it except to just master the game. Like, yeah. I just want to master all aspects of the game.
Well, and you have it so specific where you have the four pillars of basketball and you can simply lay it out. And like you said, it's not about the player, but it becomes all about the player. And we love that. And I think it ties into what you do every day, right? So your pillars of what you're working on, that becomes your day-to-day. So you're at Always Official and Reach Socks. So overall, just for your business, what is your ultimate goal for you in business and for yourself personally?
I'm going to start with business, if you don't mind.
Sure.
My personal goal in business, honestly, is to learn it. I've never been in a business world. I have never considered myself an entrepreneur until maybe about 6 days ago, when I was like, oh crap, like I work for myself. I'm an entrepreneur. So I never, like, because I listened to a lot of Gary Vee, and he talks about the entrepreneur a lot. And I never wanted to say I was an entrepreneur until I was really in that position where it's all me. Like, where the good, the bad, it's all my fault. Or I never wanted to accept the responsibility of that name because a lot came with it. So I wanted to make sure that I could back it up with my actions before I called myself that. So as far as the business end goes, I really want to just learn it. I just want to meet as many people, connect with as many people, and learn. That's all I'm trying to do for the next 15 to 20 years on and off the court. Learn. Like, I don't want to, like, as far as sensei goes, like, I'm not going to come out and say anything, like, and be a sensei until 20 years from now. Like, you know, if you look at my Instagram, it says basketball sensei in training. So I'm really just at a point to where I just want to learn business-wise.
That's perfect. I got to just say, that's just perfect, because you even hear people who are extremely successful already. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. Like, you can look at a head coach, like I'm an Ohio State fan, and Urban Meyer wrote a book. And in the book, the one main takeaway I had is his constant thirst for knowledge. He does not stop learning. So it doesn't matter where you are in your life. There's just that constant thirst for knowledge and just going after it. And you're always learning. And so that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, man. I get my fix from that. Like that, like learning, it's a whole nother thing for me. Like, I'm that guy on the court that coach says, hey, we're going to set this screen here and we're going to come off there. And I'm going to ask coach right after that. So we're going to set this screen here and come off right there. It's because it's like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to make sure I know it. I want to make sure that the person next to me, if he didn't have the guts to ask, I asked for him. And I don't know. It's just a great way to learn. I get so deep into thought about it that it's almost crazy.
It consumes you.
It really does. Like, I started thinking about that and I almost forgot what I was doing for a second, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, almost I was interviewing, because it's that deep for me.
Yeah. So then for yourself, and I interrupted you, of course, but what is it for yourself that you're after? And
actually, and this is crazy you asked this, yesterday I just came up with the mindset that was going to get me to the next level, because I'm, like I said, 6 days ago, I called myself an entrepreneur, and 6 days ago I moved into my first home and my fiance and my brother and all that. And I wrote on my board, you finally are who you want to be. You made it to the starting line. And at that point, I began to start doing things myself, like in trying to figure things out and not work a day job and just really try to be myself. And my fiance is really, she wants to do the same. And so I told her that, if we get 3 months ahead of our bills, you do that and we'll go super, we can go super hard in 3 months and build you up and we'll be able to sustain ourselves. And that magic number was $3,600. So I told myself we made a plan, we made goals, and we wanted to get $3,600 by February. And then I got to the point to where, well, since we have the number, why not try to get it by tomorrow? The odds of us getting it by tomorrow are freaking 1 in 3,600. But if the mindset of to try to get to the point to where we can start every day, let's get to the point to where we're working so hard that we just want to get an opportunity, because there's no guarantees it's going to work, but we're working for the opportunity. And 36 and 2 and 24, man, that's what it's all about. 36 yeah. by 24, 36 by 24. And that's my goal. Get $3,600 every day. Now, I don't have to get it. I don't have to, but my mindset is I'm going to work so hard that I can be satisfied with making 3 times more than what I need, so that way I can have an opportunity. I'll be prepared no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And so if I could put it all into like just one thing as far as like what my biggest goal for myself is, and that's prepare myself for every opportunity. That's my goal. That's my biggest thing I want to do, is always be prepared.
You're ready to go no matter what comes at you.
No matter what. The guy in my head will tell me to do 5 push-ups for no reason. Now, I wouldn't question it, because it's got to be for something. 5 push-ups is nothing in the grand scheme of things. But when you do 5 push-ups every 5 minutes for, you know, every 5 hours, when you look back in a year, you did over 5 million push-ups possibly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff adds up. If you believe it does.
Yep. It's got to consume you.
So, I'm sorry. So, I'm a huge tangent.
No, we love that. We love tangents. Let's just keep going with it. So when you're talking about that, the good or the bad that comes at you, no matter what it is, if it's 5 push-ups coming in your head, there's also the bad stuff that comes, and that's disruption in business. We see it all the time. We talk to our clients about disruption all the time. What happens if your business changes tomorrow? And if you think your business isn't going to change tomorrow, then you know, I don't know what to tell you. But so there's been talks, as you know, in different sports, right? As baseball's one, but eliminating officials in sports. And here you are building a business, being a ref. So what do you think about these talks, and how do you think it would affect the games in the future?
Oh, that's a perfect question. I love that one. That way I was, oh my God. So I'm going to start with, if things change tomorrow, like let's go to the ultimate thing and say, okay, there's no refs tomorrow. Now, something I've always, basketball has taught me, because like I was saying, I only know the game through basketball. So one of the lessons basketball's taught me is always be able to adjust. Always. If you don't adjust, you're going to fall behind, because the game changes every possession. If you run that backdoor play, that guy, y'all get backdoor, if they're good enough, you will never be able to run that play again. You know? So if you use that play, one, that guy better be prepared to score that bucket, because we're not going to get that again.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we have to be prepared to be ready to change that the very next play. We have to be prepared for them protecting it and be able to hit the next option. That guy cuts back door. Okay, we got a guy coming to set a screen after we dribbled that guy through. Anybody that does basketball, you can see that in your head, I assume. You know, so you just go to the next option. And off the court, I learned from Gary Vee, you can't bank on one thing, like one social media site or something, like someone try to build. Because if Twitter, like Vine's gone now. Mm-hmm. What are all those Vine famous people going to do? You know, they're on YouTube. They're on Snap. They're on this. They're on Musical.ly. They went to the next one. So I'm just, as far as like, if it was to go away, I would adjust. I don't care. Because I feel like I'm prepared enough. Like, whatever lesson I learned from this, whatever connections I made from this, is going to pay off. Because the people still have to run the cameras. They still have to run the robots. I need to make sure I'm probably one of those people.
That's it.
So,
no,
yeah,
I mean,
that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I don't care. And it's not that you don't care as in I don't care if I get put out of business. You don't care that you can adjust. You've built your platform. You've built your audience. You've built yourself up to this way to where you're going to be the guy no matter what direction it goes. And I completely agree. That's the way you have to look at it in business, because like we talked about when I asked the question, is it's going to change. How is it going to change? Can't predict the future, right? Maybe you can. Maybe you can get some insight and have a better idea as to what might happen. But you truly is really hard to understand what is going to come next. And having that mindset that you have and the confidence and also the knowledge that you've acquired that we talked about earlier, that's going to lead you to these other things. So, yeah, it makes a ton of sense. So when you take that, go.
May I add to the part, to the second part of your question? You asked, how would it change the game? Like, how do I think it would change the game?
Right.
I feel that it'll hurt the game. One, because you're taking away a perspective. You're taking away something that makes the game, give the game its beauty. You know, like there's a million and one ways, most likely more, to get that ball in that basket. Now, you take away the officials, you take away everything that makes the game what it is to me, because the game teaches you lessons. And one of those biggest lessons is fighting through adversity. Sometimes you get that bad call. And I deal with a lot of youth. I deal with a lot of youth. And I try to explain this to a kid in high school. If those guys are coming here to watch you play, they're not coming here to necessarily watch you win. Every coach loves a winner, but they want to know what you are about. That's why they flew down here, drove down here, and sitting in the high school gym in the middle of North Dakota, you know what I'm saying, to see. So when that call happens, they're not looking at, oh, dang, our guy's going to lose. They want to see what you're going to do, brother. What is your response to when things get bad? Because it's bigger than the game. Because this is going to show basketball is an accelerated form of life. And this is going to show what you're going to do when something happens off the court that you have no control over, and your response is, what your response is going to be. Is it going to be a response of entitlement? Is it going to be a response of anger, frustration? Are you going to get down and go backwards and not lead your team? Are you going to look at your teammates, tap your chest, eyes wide, chest high, head high, saying, that's me. Don't worry about that one, bro. You got that illegal screen because I wasn't waiting. I got you. Like, that guy is the guy I'm going to recruit. And I don't care if it's business or bat sports. It doesn't matter. That guy who says it's my fault, I got it. Don't worry. This guy's taller than me. Don't worry, guys. These guys are faster than us. Don't worry, guys. They're ranked number one in the country. Don't worry, guys. That guy is the guy I want on my team.
Yeah.
And they're gonna take that guy away, because the guy that can figure out, like, hey, that's out of our control, and tell, getting everybody else to understand that guy is gonna fall. Like Draymond Green said, toughness is getting more and more. You don't need that. And they're going to take away the mental and physical toughness part of the game, because every ref is different. It's a lot of marginal contact that parents think are fouls because they carried their son 9 months in the womb. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're speaking our language. I mean, you're talking about the perspective you have on the court as a ref, and I don't think people have seen it that way. And the way you explain it, it's like, yeah, you're right. You can't have that go away. That changes everything. And that's the beauty of it. It's the unknown. It's the, yeah, that's the human element. We get away from the human element, it's boring. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I'm sorry, because I got on a tangent and I started to hit a part that really gets me, and that's the parents.
Yeah.
Because the parents are the reason why the game's getting to the way it is. The fan, like the parents, because it all starts on the youth levels. They don't want their kids to be touched. They don't want their kids to be fouled. When something happens and their kid is dribbling down, it's one-on-one, it's freaking nine-year-olds. Nine-year-olds. No one's even, like, you know how hard it is to get that ball up?
Yeah.
And they're going down, and this kid throws it off the glass while I'm talking to the other kid. Hey, two hands up. And this kid throws two hands up. And he throws it off the glass, off of 1 foot. And these parents think it's a foul. And because the kid falls. The kid falls because he was touched. Yeah. If he was touched. He fell because his pride hurts, because he missed. He fell because he's just a kid. And kids do that. They like the dramatics. I did it all day. I had no reason to fall when I was nine. But I did it every time. And I know it because I was there, which is why they can't trick me. One. But, and the kid falls. Now, the parents immediately start going on this protect the kids crusade. And I'm not about it because, for one, and I learned this through girls' basketball, seventh grade girls. These girls are tougher than you think they are. They're a lot tougher than you guys give them credit for. But when you go out here and you say, that was a foul, da-da-da-da-da, while the play's going on, now guess what? This little kid doesn't think he had any control in the matter. He or she doesn't realize they could have just jump stopped. No one's telling them to jump stop. That's fundamentals. Coaches are saying jump stop. He's saying all the way. No one's telling a defender kid two hands up. That's me, the ref. Everyone just wants to see the ball go in. Everyone wants to see their team win. These are kids. These are kids. One, let them be tough. Let them learn the lessons life's teaching them right now. That kid's going to get over it. If you don't say foul, that kid's going to get over it. Because you know why? You know why I know this is, like, the wrong thing to say to them? And why I know, like, why the parents that do that are hypocrites to me, not in the negative light, but just for the sake of the definition? And that's because if your kid, most parents that I know, where I grew up, so I can't just say it for everybody, but where I grew up, if your kid got knocked down by another kid, what's the first thing you're saying to your kid?
You're asking me.
Yeah, what's the first thing you're going to say? Get up. Get. Can I cuss?
A little bit.
Get your ass up.
That's it.
Get up.
Yep.
That's the first thing you're going to tell him. You're not going to say, hey, don't push him. You're going to tell him, get up, and then say, hey, don't push him, at least. But 9 times out of 10, any parent that I know that have been to all these been watching basketball as long as they say they've been watching basketball, they're going to tell their kid to get up. But for some reason, everyone does this, and this isn't just the kids. Everyone does this. For some reason, people think just because we step in between these lines, this game stops becoming life. It still operates by the same rules as the universe. Everything you're doing out here is the same rules, gravity, the angles, the geometry, the anaerobic, oh my gosh, I can go on and on about the physics of basketball. Like, this game does not stop becoming life. You still have to go through the same things. How many things has life given you, bro? I was talking to my friend in the game. I fouled him. He didn't get it. And then we go down and get fouled, and I'm talking to him. And he's like, man, they didn't get me to foul. I'm like, what do you get in life, bro? It's like, nothing. Like, you got to earn everything you get. He's like, you already know. I said, what makes you think that's any different out here? What makes you think these lines make this different? What makes you think that jersey make this different? Those shoes and the sleeves and the persona and everything we're out here doing. What makes you think this is any different from being out there in the real world? Your kid's over there watching, bro. He sees you complaining about something you have no control over. What do you think he's going to do? Complain about things you have no control over. All you got to do is just do what you can do. It ain't going to always work out. As soon as you get over that, then things start to work out because you're not looking at the things that aren't working out. And a lot of parents don't understand the influence they have on their kids when they're out here yelling these things. Like, that was a foul. Or the worst thing I hate is when the opposing parents are yelling, travel, travel. These are kids. Everyone's at a different part of the journey. One. Two, you know how insecure you're making this kid? They're going to travel every time even more now. You're screaming it at the top of your lungs.
It's sad because it's...
Really, the kid thinks they really messed up bad.
Yeah. It's sad because what I see is how many games are taking place every weekend, and it's not about the learning aspect. It's about how many games did you win? What was the score of the game, right? I'm sure you see this all the time where you got to play in the game. You got to compete against someone else. You got to try out your talents, your skills, the new things you learned on the court or on the field. And it's like, oh, we won this tournament, we won that tournament. And is it all about winning and losing? You know, like, and it's, you know, you hear about soccer. U.S. soccer team didn't qualify for the World Cup. And they were telling us for 10 years how U.S. soccer is taking the next level. And there's thousands of kids playing soccer. And guess what? U.S. soccer didn't qualify for the World Cup. It's an embarrassment, really. And then you're like, well, what are they focused on? Are they focused on the skills, the talent, getting
like,
better?
Is that all y'all care about? And that's the thing. That's it, you know? At the highest levels, they're worried about money, which is understandable.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Sure.
But at these levels...
But it starts early, right? Like you're saying, it starts at the youth.
They're disguising it as the win at those levels. So down here, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
They think these people are going this crazy because of just a win or a loss. But at these levels, it is. That's all you got. That's all you got. And these people think that that's all it is, though.
Yeah.
I tell these kids every day, I give them their thing. I say, you guys have fun on purpose. Everyone in this gym wishes they could be you right now. You're the only ones that get to come out here and play and compete. You got one job. And that's it. And so whenever they try to talk to me, I say, hey, what's your one job? They're like, you right. They look at me like, you know, you right, ref. Right, my bad.
Yeah.
You know, you got one. You get to do this. I don't, bro. You lucky. Have fun.
Yeah.
You're not having fun if you're worried about this, that, and the third. Just play.
But it comes up from higher. And I learned this coaching my son's baseball team. I mean, I'm talking T-ball, youth baseball, and I've never seen grown people, men and women, cry and get emotional over an 8 and under baseball game. And, you know, and I've seen some really good umpires that could handle that stuff, and I've seen other ones. It would be really bad.
And
you watch these kids respond, and I'm like, they're going nuts when the kid strikes out. And I get it. You got to learn to deal with that stuff as a kid because people are going to root against you, and that's okay. But I mean, you've seen these grown people cry because they didn't think that should have been a run, and they want to just start screaming and yelling. And like you said, it's these kids are watching. It's not just the kids that are playing. It's their brothers and sisters are watching it too, and it's impacting them.
Yeah, they thinking that's what it's about. Because whatever their parent does, they're gonna think that's cool.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah,
okay, because they're doing it.
But it's also okay. The professional sports. You watch a football game, for example. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a 30-yard pass or more thrown? And if it's not completed, someone's calling for pass interference every single time.
Yeah, every time they're like, I hate seeing them try to throw their little fake flag. Like, bro, he didn't call it.
Right.
Get over it. Yeah, you were touched. It's football. Why do you think you got pads on? You're going to get touched. But guess what? you're taking away from every opportunity you could have gave yourself to catch that ball. If you tried your damnedest to catch that ball and that guy stopped you from trying your damnedest, you would get it.
Yeah.
But you're not. Some people don't give themselves a chance.
Yeah.
They're too busy looking for the foul. So they throw the ball, and they don't go straight to the basket. They jump to the side, and they think because that guy is right there and he goes straight up and you touch his body and you go away from him, that's a foul. It's not. He's straight up verticality. He's entitled to his space. And you go and jump away from him, you think that's a foul? No, you're jumping away from him trying to get a foul. Trying to get fouls. You're closing your eyes.
Yeah. Just hoping for the best, hoping that the ref is on your side for that minute.
Yeah, no, take control of it. Go as hard as you can to the basket. If he stops you, it's a foul.
So how do you explain this? So, like, as you're building your business as a ref, and I hear this, right, and I'm hoping that something like this podcast and leagues and schools hear this stuff and, like, this is our guy. His company, they're going to be reffing all our games. Is that what you do? I mean, is that how you sell it? Because, you know, they might meet you and like, he's just a ref, right? The refs are all the same for the most part. Either they have some experience or don't have experience. And how do you do that? How do you sell yourself?
We sell ourselves because we're going out here doing it with the intent of what I want to do with about being a basketball. We're going at it with the mindset of the League of X. And we really want to change the game. I got into officiating at first to just make a little money here and there while I was in college. But now I'm using it to get ground level at a part of the game to start changing it. Like, I got it. I'm literally going to transform the game from every aspect. And so when we do this, we do it with the way I would coach, the way I would train a kid. The way I would be in the stands watching the game while my little brother's playing. We got here trying to make these kids better. Everyone got to leave better. Everyone has to get better and have fun. We're out here having a blast. I'm talking to these kids, making sure their hands are up, making sure they're having fun, making sure they're hustling. Me and my brother, we do like freaking little halftime shows for the parents, getting kids that be on the sideline involved, playing one-on-one with them during the timeouts and having fun, talking to the parents and really helping these kids and not punishing them for making mistakes, but rewarding them for trying to do the right thing, rewarding them for actually doing the right thing and fighting through, teaching them how to fight through adversity. And the parents and the coaches, for the most part, love it. And after the game, there's at least one person that comes up to me and my brother and tell us we're the best refs they've ever had.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, and it's the best feeling ever. Because when I'm out there, I'm not counting my money. I'm engaged in every single game. I'm sprinting the floor. My mechanics are, I'm trying so hard to really practice my mechanics. I'm doing, these kids, if they don't feel like they're in the NBA, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
Like, we take it very seriously. We're out, we work hard. We give our best. Every time
you put your head down and you do the work, it's like you talked about Gary Vee, and we're going to get into a little bit more of that in a second, but he says do the work, right? People are like, well, I've done the work, I've been doing this for 6 weeks. No, put your head down, do it for 2 or 3 years and then come talk to me, right? That's what you're doing, and you just keep doing it, and that sells itself. And then whether you like it or not, someone's going to come up to you after the game and tell you how they feel about it. And most of that's going to be positive. Yeah. You know you're doing a good job, and you know you're building something special.
And that's the great part. But the part that I feel like hurts us the most about that, though, is no one – like, one, it's hard for a lot of people to come up and even say, you guys did great. It'll be one person and coming from a group of people saying – and one person say, you did great, and then the rest of them like, yeah. But then no one – because of the way I look and the way I am, how out there I am, no one wants to tell me what I can do better, what I'm doing bad at. Like, they're quick to tell me, yeah, that was a travel during the game. But when I can actually talk to them and defend myself when my stripes aren't on, no one wants to tell me that I did a bad job. Like, I don't care if I did a bad job. I know I reffed a great game. This lady just told me. So if you're telling me I'm doing something bad, I can definitely get better. Like, I want to get better. Like, why y'all think I'm out here calling this game so hard? Why do you think my arm, like, I have to get an elbow sleeve because of my elbows from doing the count? Like, the kid's walking up the court, and I'm chopping my arm super hard counting. Hard. Elbow pops every time. Boom. Boom. Every time. They're little kids. It's not going to be a super fast game. I got to make sure I count while they're in that backcourt. They're going to press. I got to make sure I'm counting. I'm counting hard. There's a 3 seconds, I'm counting. There's a 5 second call, I'm counting. Any inbound, I'm counting. And I know the guy's about to hand it right to the guy inbound. But I'm counting. That one is going to be really hard. Like, I'm trying to get better, people.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to, I don't, like, come on, man. Like, help me.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to come up to me and tell me you did bad or you could do this or, And that part hurts.
Yeah. Well, that's where if the more you put yourself out there and doing things like this and you start dealing with maybe people in business, different types of companies, I'm saying, like maybe that gives the opportunity for people to critique. Like you said, constructive criticism goes a long way. And you don't grow when you're comfortable, right? You grow when you're uncomfortable. And I've heard that many times. I got my parents telling me that, right? And that's what I came up with.
Yeah.
And you want to see some adversity. Like you said, yeah, you got fouled. I missed the call. Get over it. Move on. Game's going on right now. The clock's ticking. Like, you better get up. So, yeah, we hear you loud and clear. And you have other things going on, though, too. And this is kind of fascinating because you've already brought up Gary Vaynerchuk a couple times. So, and I believe the sock brand that you work with is part of his Vanner Sports agency, right? You sell to them. So tell us about this sock brand.
Reach is, we're a premium customizable, fully customizable athletic sock. We're all about one philosophy, and that's reaching higher. Like, that's trying to go to the next level. Like, reaching, like, I use a quote from Kanye West to keep it in mind is reach for the stars. So if you fall, you land on the cloud. That's basically the premise that I get out of the philosophy. And it's just about trying to get there, trying to go there. Just go, you know, just do it. And that's how I live my life. And I'm in business with one of my brothers that I actually, and it's crazy how it came around, I'm in business with one of my brothers that I played junior college basketball with at the College of Eastern Utah in Price, Utah. His name is Jonah. And that year actually defined my life and why I do everything the way I do it now. And our coach, Brad Barton, he taught me a lot about the value of teamwork, brotherhood, being a great teammate, doing things that take no talent, actually it being okay for you to be passionate, loyalty, and just the overall value of team. And he taught me that at a very high level, and he passed away the first day of practice. Our first day of official practice, he passed away. And during our journey, me and Jonah got really close. And I left and went my separate ways to go to school, and he went to go to school as well to different places. And I ended up seeing Reach Socks online, and I hit him up, and my bro ends up hitting me up. I hit him up on Instagram. He hit me up on Twitter. And come to find out, like, I didn't know that was him, because I was like, I love, like, this sock brand. I love this. And they weren't even part of Vayner Sports yet. I was like, I love this. And my bro was like, hey, man, are you interested in something? Like, he starts telling me about Reach and the socks. And I was like, get out of my face. And then I was like, and this is when I just started, like, becoming Damo Sama. And I was all, I'm super into Gary Vee. Like, that's all I watch or listen to. It's my music. It's my news. It's my TV. Like I didn't even watch the NBA yesterday. And he told me that he was doing some work with Gary Vee and Vayner Sports, and I was like, get out of here. I was going crazy. I was in my car driving. I'm just like, oh!
This is it.
Gary Vee in the car.
Yeah.
I literally told him, talk to me for like 40 seconds so I could just freak out. Literally.
Yeah.
And he actually, and he told me the story about how he got connected with Vayner, and he sent Gary a customized pair of socks, and he showed him mad love, and it was super cool. And so they ended up doing some work with Vayner Sports and some of their athletes, and there's some stuff coming, and it's just working together.
It's amazing,
man.
How it all comes together, right? I mean, here you are,
really,
like you
really,
said, and
yeah.
I get it. Like, podcasts are the new music. That's why we're doing it. And like you're talking about Gary Vee, like, of course, like, how motivational is it? And then to hear that all of a sudden, yeah, you're going to do some work through a business that he runs.
Oh my God.
Get out of here.
Crazy. And that's why.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, shut up. That's what I'm telling him. Not you. I'm telling him.
No, I get
like,
it.
That's why I'm like, shut up. Like, shut up. Don't do nothing. Just work.
Yeah.
Don't even tell him you're with Reach Socks. Just keep doing your thing and really try to build something and grow something. And then when you finally meet him, because I told myself, you're going to meet him. So now that you understand that, get over it and work.
Yeah.
And see what you can bring to the table by the time you meet him.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Gary Vee is, and it's weird, it makes me, like, I don't think he's motivational. Like, I don't think he's a motivational speaker. Like, he's really, like, passionate and really, like, what's the word?
He's telling.
I'll go back to it when I meant.
He's telling you how to do it.
Practical. He's practical.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's the word. And, like, I don't see him as, like, like, I love him to death. But I don't want to work for him. I want to work with him. Like, I don't see him as, I see him as a, like, a potential colleague or peer. Like, I want to beat him. I know I can't. Like, there's no way. Like, I'd have to wait till after he died to try to make up the ground. Like, I know, but I know if I try to do that and just try to be better than him in my space, like, in my zone, in my being mean, and getting to that point to where people care about what I have to say about what I do, I want to beat him at that. And beating him would be the equivalent to me of him buying the Jets. Now, he's going to do that one day. The plan.
Yeah.
Tells me, if he's my Jets, I'm going to beat him one day. I don't know when that day is going to come. Like, it could literally come after I die. And somebody carries my vision on farther.
Man. You're going legacy. Legacy now. Yeah.
I didn't notice that till now. I've never really expressed that very much out loud. But I was just so on it and felt it. Like, I love him to death, but I want to crush him the same way he'll crush me.
Yeah.
Like if I tell him let's compete at anything, he's going to say, I'm going to crush your face. That's what he's going to think. But that's how I feel.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to beat me so many times. Like, you're going to have to get bored of beating me because I'm going to literally keep coming back. For the simple fact that I'm getting better out of this exchange than you are.
Right.
I'm playing against you. You're way up here. I'm getting closer and closer. Your game doesn't have to change much to adapt to mine. Yeah. Mine's going to change every time I play you. That didn't work. You already know what works for you. You're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
And once I be able to match what you do, after adjusting to you, I'm going to pass you.
Yeah. That's getting over
he
the
said
hump.
He's going to say the, he says he's going to say the same shit for 20 years. Which means he's going to do the same shit for 20 years. So I have to be able to try to beat that.
Yeah. And what's so cool is he gives, like you said, tactical. He's giving people how to do it. Like, he says, watch me, you know, watch what I do.
Yeah.
And that's real. You know, like you said, I still find it motivational. I know he's not trying to be Anthony Robbins. I still get excited about the stuff he does because it's the speed, but it's more the watching the speed. But that's it. He's giving out the keys. He's giving it away, and you're doing it too. Here you are on this podcast. You're telling your thoughts about how you're going to change the game of basketball. Anyone can take your inspiration and your knowledge and your information, and they can go recreate it. But they can't recreate you. They can't recreate the way you tell your message. The communication is what's different. And the things that you create around all of the stuff that you're doing, that's your thought. That's your knowledge. Like, I don't know much about this. I want to ask this because I think it has to do with everything. but you have something called the League of X, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Okay. So I'm going to be a little bit all over the place because the League of X isn't one thing. So the League of X is I call it the league because I don't want to say fraternity because there's going to be women. So it's a league of people who want to create their own lane to show the next generation that there's another way. So we want to be the ones that take the path less traveled and make all the difference for the next generation. So long term with the league, we want to be able, there's no, like, school, I feel like traditional universities and schools are going out the window and it's just going to be sports at some point. And we're going to have to go back to being apprentices and all that. So if I have a bro in Florida who's really into car washes and detailing cars and all that, and I got a bro who wants to get into that industry, a young guy, 17, 18, just got out of high school, whatever, I could send him, this kid, to join the league, and I'll send him to be this guy's apprentice for however long until he passes them to someone else in the league or whatever. But we can go and give, we do our thing, make a network so that way we can help others. Like, everyone's doing their thing, but, like, no one wants to, like, we need actual learning advice doing it. Like, we need to do it. Like, no, I don't need a book. Like, give me a book while you show me if you're going to give me a book. Like, you know, I can't, like, if I want to be a mechanic, I need to go to a freaking auto shop and be put into the whole ordeal, all the way down to purchase orders and cash register and the engines, you know, everything. Put me in that life. So to be able to, like, basically make a network of people that can help the next generation of kids and mentor them and teach them the ways of the league. Because for me, the league gonna be in the world of basketball. Mine is the league of coaches for Generation X. It could be the league of painters, the league of freaking lawyers. Like, it doesn't matter. But I use Generation X because I like the, like, I like, obviously Generation X is my parents, like, type stuff. But for the sake of the thing, just for the next generation is the point. And my thing is going to be in basketball. I'm going to be the sensei of basketball. I'm going to live my life as far as life is basketball. I translate life through basketball. That's how I see things.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, I'll be able to translate it through a basketball way. And there will be people who will be able to do that with tennis. There's people who are able to do that with track and field. There's people who are able to do that with football. All kinds of coaches do that to get through to their players all the time. It's an actual thing. So mine's going to be basketball. And I want to create a network of coaches that want to find next best innovative ways to train and teach and get through to these kids the way the kids operate, not the way we want them to do. We want to get these kids to do the old school stuff, teamwork, hard work, accountability, you know, the good old stuff.
Yep.
But we don't know. We don't know how to get it through to them. Maybe we need to get on Snapchat and talk to them. Like, and make stuff that they can see. Get on Instagram. Talk to them.
Go where they are.
Go where they are and figure out what they like. And then figure out a way to get hard work to correlate with that. And show them through their life that, hey, this is just like basketball. You can make a great decision today.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want to have like a council of all other senseis from other sports, and then just a whole league of coaches all over the place. And it will end up being like a basketball academy. We'll have guys actually teaching on the court, but I will be teaching off the court to everyone, like from etiquette to meditations to all kinds of stuff. And I just want to teach the wax on and wax off part, like I said before, well, and show these kids life.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think, too, you made a good point, getting out there, getting on social media, using the tools that exist to get in front of people that might not be in your hometown or might not be within 100 miles of where you are, but you can get out there and, like, you and I are talking, you're in Salem, Oregon, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, like, we're on opposite ends of the country right now. You can impact me and vice versa. And then you talking, we're talking, it's a podcast, so, you know, we've talked about audio before, podcasting, voice, I mean, I'm so big into it. I can't tell you how much it's changed what I do and what I've learned, you know, taking on podcasting, taking on Audible and listening to books while I'm going places and listen to it at two times speed. I mean, I listen to Gary Vaynerchuk at two times speed, and people are like, are you crazy? And I'm like, I can't listen at one time speed anymore because there's time is so important, right? And then you have Anchor.
I got to get it.
So how are you, how do you, I mean, I hear your voice and what you're saying and you're getting excited about it. So tell me what your thought is around the future of audio. I know you're on Anchor, right? I think you like Anchor a lot.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about the future of audio and voice?
One, I think that audio and voice are like, I'm so freaking happy. I'm so happy because it's kind of like what, I feel like it's going to be what texting did for people. Like, people actually can find a way to express themselves in another way. Because, like, people are able to type, but now, because of typing and it's so something we do all the time, there's a lot of people that want to share that, but they can't get it out because they don't want to type all those words. So to be able to press that little microphone and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that changes a lot. That changes everything. Mm-hmm. I can really get my thoughts out if it comes out real time. I don't even have to think. I don't have to backspace. I don't have to capitalize. I just say it. That changes a lot. Now, as far as like voice, that makes like the Alexa skills thing. I've been looking into that, and I actually figured out what it is. So now I'm gonna make one of the best Alexa skills there is with the appreciation circuit. But I'm going to get to that later. That's going to be super cool. I can't wait.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to change everything too, because if you can just wake up, be like, hey, do this, da-da-da-da-da. Hey, set my alarm for this. Remind me at this time to do this. And it's all actually real time happening. Like, okay, I got you. Yep. That changes, like, for me, it changes efficiency. If I can just say, hey, Alexa, pull up the highlights from the game last night. Boom. Or go to Ball Is Life and show me the last video on Steph Curry. You know, that kind of stuff, like, I can move extremely fast and multitask at the same. Even if I don't multitask, I can do the two or three things at once almost.
Yep.
But if I'm multitasking, actually doing something and talking to something, oh my gosh, man. Like whoever, like, I'm, if you're not ready to work, you better hope voice don't happen. You're not ready to do real.
Yeah.
The speed at which the game is going to go is going to be crazy.
Yo, and it's already moved. It's moved fast before. And if you think that was fast, just wait. But you're right, because you have this way about you. You have this energy. You can get things across better than if you sent me an email. You can get it out with your voice. And so, I mean, you could get it out with an email as well, don't get me wrong, but it's taking it to that next level, because now I get to hear your tone. I get to hear your passion, your excitement around stuff. So,
and just, can I say something more?
Yeah,
Anchor,
please,
really quick?
Please.
Like, a lot of people don't understand. If you do have an Anchor right now, you better start using it and connecting with people now, because Anchor is going to be the next Twitter. And I say that because you can literally do the same things on Anchor as you can do on Twitter. Like, you can go and express a 4-second thought and people can retweet it, repost it, echo it is the word.
Yep.
People can redo it and all that. And now people can express their thoughts. Imagine if you can be somewhere instead of scrolling on Twitter, people, now you can listen to Twitter. Imagine that.
Yep.
Imagine listening to Twitter and actually hearing someone's tone of voice, and they can play music to go with their stuff and all this. That, man, the way these kids are, they're so cool that they already know how to work it, and they don't even know what it is yet. kids know how to get attention. They naturally do the things that make, that tells the other kids, like this, comment here, share this. They always do it. They think it's just regular. But they're really getting that attention and getting that engagement and getting that. Once they get to Anchor, it's a wrap. It's Twitter.
Yeah.
So you better enjoy your podcast and get really big on there now. So that way when they come, they'll respect you. These kids are coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether next you like it or not. Yeah.
They're coming.
Yeah.
They are coming.
Yeah.
You better make sure you got this many views or listens or whatever, because when they come and you don't got it, they're not going to respect you or listen to your
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Now, it could.
That's how it works.
It is. You're absolutely right. Now, I think audio could, these other platforms could adjust, just like an Instagram took on what Snapchat was doing. So Twitter could take on a voice component for themselves, or they can integrate, which they do a little bit right now with Anchor. But you're right. I mean, I can't tell you how many connections we've made on Anchor. And we're on it, but not a ton. But we're making connections
yeah.
with people because they can hear me, I can hear them. It's almost like we're leaving voicemails for each other, and we're having back and forth
cool.
conversations. And then you take it offline somewhere else, maybe on Twitter, maybe on a phone call, maybe in a meeting. But no. You're spot on with it. And I think it just allows you to, like you going back to the beginning, it allows you to learn from people and continuing that drive to get more knowledge. But I want to kind of segue a touch into an article. We always like to tie in an article that we've written into a podcast. And so on Sportspreneur, we wrote an article about Alonzo Ball when you have a chance to learn, you take it. And early on in the draft process, and this isn't about him as a player, this is when he was, before he was drafted, and you know, he wanted to go to the Lakers, his dad wanted to go to the Lakers, and the Celtics were there. And the Celtics were saying, what if the Lakers don't take him? Is this our guy? And he didn't take a meeting with Danny Ainge, who was a incredible basketball player, he's been an incredible general manager, and he didn't take that meeting. And we kind of felt it was his turn, his chance to learn from someone who could help him. And maybe he could tell him face to face, hey man, I don't want to play for you, but I want to learn from you. And who knows what would have happened there. But I want your take. And I think we've already kind of gotten it on this. So touch on this a little bit. You think Lonzo
might
Ball should,
be a
take,
little
should, you th- you should Lonzo be a Ball have taken that meeting?
Honestly, with where, first off, I love their whole narrative. Like, I'm super fascinated by their family, one. And I have plenty of different feelings about them. But with that, I personally feel like that was a great move. One, I think because on like the PR side, you sitting there saying, I'm going to the Lakers, 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 Lakers. Yeah, Danny Ainge is over there. But if you got Magic Johnson, okay. Like that's Magic Johnson, who actually plays the position you play. You grew up in LA. That's the culture. You hate the Celtics low key if you love the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's like, I don't, like, in as far as my grand scheme of things, it doesn't involve you guys at all. Like, I don't see that as a bad move. Like, yeah, he could learn from him. But at the same time, we don't know what he knows about Danny Ainge. Because at that, where they're at, it's a lot. They're in on all the scoop. They know it's a lot of people out there talking. And I'm not too happy with Danny Ainge.
Yeah,
personally, but what he did with Isaiah and how he went about it. People are on LeBron about how he did, taking his talent to South Beach. Danny Ainge couldn't even have shaken Isaiah's hands, looking him in the eye. He called him.
That's a good point. I mean, that's the whole thing, man. It's a debate, right? And, you know, I had a perspective on it, and you have a different perspective, and that's okay. And I get what you're saying. I personally feel like you take the meeting.
I would have took it.
Right.
I would have took it. But trying to put myself in their position,
yep. No,
I don't. I wouldn't have.
They stayed true to their way they are, their
yeah.
brand. And I don't disagree.
It at all if I was,
yeah. And you know what? Great news.
Hall of Famer. I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, but you create, like you said, you're creating a topic for people to talk about, like us. Not that, you know, who's listening, but ESPN's going to talk about it. And, you know, no, I get it. That's a good perspective. So I appreciate everything you've said so far. And
I'm sorry if I made this way longer than you expected.
No, it's a, we want
that. I have a tendency to do that.
That's okay, because you have a way about you that's inspiring. It's like watch what you're doing, and you're going to want to go out and do something too. Like you said, we're going to want to get up and go and get it now. Don't go anywhere, because we are going into some rapid fire questions right after this message. We would like to take a quick moment to tell you about an organization we work closely with called RODS, which stands for Racing for Orphans with Down Syndrome. We are a proud supporter of RODS Racing. The RODS mission is to nurture a positive image of Down Syndrome, to promote awareness for the adoption of orphans with Down Syndrome, and by participating in organized athletic races and awareness events. Ultimately, the goal is to find homes for all orphans with Down Syndrome. Because of our relationship with the founder of RODS, Brady Murray, we are honored to be able to contribute our work in the area of marketing to create even more awareness around RODS and their mission. You can learn more about RODS at RODS.org. But I do want to move into the rapid fire round. So this is a little bit, it's a little quicker. It's kind of like hit you, and you respond back real fast, and then we'll go through it.
I got you.
All right, man. What book are you reading right now?
I'm reading two books. One is Crush It by Gary Vee, and the second one is the rule books for the referees.
I love those.
I read that.
The Crush It, yes. I haven't heard the other one. It makes total sense. So what?
It's the rule book for officiating.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're working your craft, right?
Oh yeah.
That's it. What is your favorite social media network?
Instagram for sure.
Yeah.
Instagram for
100%.
Sure. I just always love that.
What social media app has you the most confused? Or don't you like?
The most Facebook. Facebook, man. It's just, but that's only because it's the big leagues.
Yeah.
That's probably the only reason.
Okay. What's the phone app you have right now that's most important to you?
The phone app? Huh. I don't know. Let me look.
Pull up that first screen. I
the
bet
most
you it's
important
on there.
Have... Yep, Instagram.
That's it? Yep.
Instagram and YouTube, because that's where Gary Vee is.
Yeah. So you're an up-and-coming entrepreneur, but I kind of feel like you've got a lot going for yourself. But what's one thing you would tell another up-and-coming entrepreneur to focus on?
Focus on, like, anything that's a lesson. Because anything that's a lesson isn't there to teach you something right off the bat. Like, you might gain something there. Like, but it's literally, once you acknowledge it as a lesson, it's literally going to be for the grand scheme. Like, it's for the big thing. Like, and you have to acknowledge that thing is for the big thing. If you can do that, any L you take will never be an L.
That's right. There's lessons to be learned everywhere. So
yeah.
I know there's many people in your life that had an impact on you, but if you could, let's give a shout out maybe to one person that's helped you get where you are today.
Whoo, that's a tough one, man. Since I can't pick everybody, I'm gonna have to give a shout out to the biggest one I know. Shout out to the man in the mirror, man. I love you. You always want me to go into the right direction. You push me there. You make sure I do what I need to do, and I respect you.
I love your answers, man. I gotta say, that was an outstanding answer. And like you said, I know there's so many people. It is real. It is real. All right. So a little transition, real fast. NBA season. As we're recording this, the NBA season started yesterday. Incredible games.
Yeah.
Tragic injury. I mean, just awful. Just so bad. But I got to ask, and the game started, the Cavs-Celtics game started yesterday, and I think it was Reggie Miller. It's like, it looked like an all-star game out there. So I just want to know, are you a fan of super teams in the NBA?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm glad you asked me that. I know you wanted to be a little faster, but this is really important. Like, yes, because the league is going to have – you have two teams that are for sure going to be there. 4 to 6 teams that are contenders. Mm-hmm. The rest are just out there. Now, what that tells me is we need to change. Like, it's going to give way for the playoff system to change and to make the league better. The bottom 16 don't make it to the playoffs. The top 16, they already did it with the All-Star game. They eliminated the East and West. Mm-hmm. So the top 16 should make it to the playoffs. Bottom 16 don't. But if they're smart and they want to make a lot of more money, they still have a playoff for the bottom teams and have them play for the picks instead of having a lottery. They play for the – so that way during the season, no one's tanking. Mm-hmm. No one's being the – if they do tank, they'll have to bring it in the lottery playoffs or – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's billions more dollars being made. Every team in the league is playing still. And they get better. Everyone gets better, and everyone – and it's competitive.
Yeah.
And – the bottom team in the and like you can make your way up, like you can work your way up.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're changing the game of basketball. I mean, you said it at the beginning. And here you go, man.
I'm telling you.
I mean, it's at every level. Every level.
I really feel like actually, it's not even a feel. The guy in the mirror literally, like, told me that I'm chosen to protect the game and change it. Like, you have to, like. The game, like the sanctity of the game, is starting to change, especially now that Kobe and them are gone. The last of them are gone, except for Dirk. Like, the last Vince Carter still left. You know,
yeah.
Vince Carter played with T-Mac, and T-Mac already in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, once those guys get to really leaving, the game is like going to be like, that this draft class is going to change, is going to be what LeBron them draft class was to the game of basketball.
Yeah.
And we have to, like, they're all 18, 19, so we got to hurry up and do something. We got to do something.
You got to do it.
We got to hurry.
I think the NBA is very well positioned with all the stuff that's going around in football, with baseball's issues, with soccer's issues, right? All these –
yeah.
Basketball is international, and the place to play basketball is in the U.S., but it's international.
Yeah.
These guys are coming over from overseas, and they can play, right? They can play. So I think the game of basketball is growing, is developing. People like you are involved in the game of basketball. I don't think it's long before before the NBA is the number one sport.
It will be. Actually, I don't see anything taking over worldwide soccer. Like,
yeah.
I don't see anything doing that. But as far as, like, kids playing it, oh, yeah, you better believe I feel like basketball will take that over.
Yeah.
Everybody, like, if they could pick one sport to be, if they could be a Hall of Famer at, they pick basketball.
Oh, for sure.
Like, if you could have the, like, if you could take all the best players in each sport and say, which one would you rather be, everyone would pick Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know
I mean, there's
saying?
Some incredible like, sports. Let's not get it wrong. You know, we've had we've had incredible people in a podcast. I can't remember what number episode. Mike Vernace, he's from Toronto. He plays overseas. He's a hockey player, and he's a passionate hockey player. And I get it. And I have a lot of friends that were hockey players growing up, and that's an incredible sport. It's a lot of fun. But like you said, there is something about basketball, the money in basketball, the opportunity, the fact
everything.
That you can be seen, you know, you don't have a helmet on, but what is so looking at this season?
I used to wish I was Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah,
I love kickers. Actually, my favorite football player is the puncher for the Steelers, Mr. Berry.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's
man.
My dude.
You get out there
sport.
And you're part of a big team. I get it. So, what NBA team this season are you most excited to watch?
Oh. Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Timberwolves for sure. I love those guys. The Bucks. Those
the
are
young,
my two favorite
the young teams.
Teams.
Yep. Are you are you a Laker fan?
No, actually I'm a Phoenix Suns fan.
Okay.
Phoenix Suns.
Well, they got some young players.
But
Devin
I love
Booker and Josh Jackson, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm loving it. But right now, like, my favorite teams to watch are the Timberwolves and the Bucks.
I agree.
Those are my guys.
I gotcha. So, who's winning it all this year, or is that just too easy of a question?
Huh. It's easy until you really have to think about the last two.
That's right.
Like, I don't think anyone has a chance. Like, I think only three teams have a chance.
Okay.
And that's the Cavs, Warriors, and the Thunder.
Okay.
Only for the simple fact that because the West is going to beat themselves up, if the Thunder position themselves right to catch the Warriors at the right time, I feel like the Thunder have a chance.
So the
I don't feel like they'll beat them.
Yeah.
If they play a seven-game series seven times, they'll get a couple of them.
They got a chance. So yeah. The Rockets home opener, last night, we're filming this, the Rockets beat the Warriors by one. Durant hit a buzzer beater. Didn't count. His ball was still in his hand at the buzzer.
Yeah.
You think the Rockets have a chance or no?
I think they have a chance.
A little bit less.
But I just feel like I can better answer that after the trade deadline. Because I feel like a lot of people aren't done making moves.
Yep.
So, like, it's hard to call it at the beginning because there's no way that the Rockets are going to end the season with the roster that they started with.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Not because, like, with Chris Paul and James, they're going to have to get really good three-point shooters.
Yeah.
They're going to even more. Like, they're going to lead the league in three-point shot attempts. Or they're going to compete with it with the Warriors. But they're going to have to – like, trades are going to be made, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if DeMarcus Cousins ended up there.
Yeah. No, it would change a lot. It makes a lot of sense. Well, man, here's what I want to do. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying, that's scary if DeMarcus Cousins would play for the Rockets.
Oh, man. Yeah. Things will change. We'll have you back on as we get maybe after the trade deadline, and we can do a little bit more. We get more sports-oriented on the next podcast. So here's what I want to do. I want you to leave us with some words of encouragement, and then I want you to follow that up with how you want people to connect with you, and then we'll finish up.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys the word of encouragement that the very first time that the guy in my head talked to me in the mirror. And it's going to be an anecdote. It's going to be a little story. It's short. So I was on push-ups. Like, I used to do a lot of push-ups all the time, every day. And one day, I didn't do any. And I go into the mirror. And I'm looking at and that's when I first met him. I finally looked into my eyes and I met him. And he started to speak. And he said, "You didn't do any push-ups today, bro." Out loud, mind you. "You didn't do any push-ups today, bro. You could at least did one. I mean, that's 100% more than zero, right?" And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And then he said, "Wrong, dumbass. Sorry." That's exactly what he said. He said, "Wrong. 100% of zero is zero." So then I asked, I said, "Then how much bigger is one than zero?" He said, "Exactly. One is infinitely times larger than zero." And I say that to say this: do not ever underestimate one. If you do just one, that's the only thing happening in the universe. Like, that's the one thing that's happening. It's the most current thing. And you're the one doing it. You're the master of that whole, of anything that happens right now with shooting that one shot. Let's make it perfect. Let's make it right. Let's get that elbow in. Let's bend those knees. Let's elevate. Let's follow through. This is the only thing that's happening right now in the world. It's one. This isn't an infinity. There is no other numbers. It's zero, one, infinity. Because a million is nothing but a million one. They're telling you how many ones it is. A million isn't a number. It's telling you how many ones there are. The computer language is zeros and ones. There's nothing but zeros and ones. So please, I'm begging you guys, don't underestimate the value of one. That one handshake can change the world. That one word of encouragement to that one kid can change the world. That one free throw can change the world. And I would like if everybody, like, if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at damo.thama. And I don't want to even bombard you guys or anything else than that. Just follow me on Instagram, and we can definitely connect. That's all I'm there to do. and Instagram, Damo Sama.
That's
and
it.
I want to invite everybody to the Jensei show on my Anchor podcast. And I want to have you guys on there as well. But we can do all that through Instagram. And that's at Damo.Sama. DOMO.SAMA.
And we're going to put that in the show notes. And man, don't underestimate the value of one. You've impacted us today. We're going to continue this relationship for a long time. I'm just excited that we were able to connect. And just so everyone knows, the way we connected is John, who works in our office, who handles a lot of our Sportsapreneur Instagram account, connected with you and led to this conversations. It led to emails, led to more conversations, and then this podcast. And I just want to thank you for spending the time with us, Damo. Don't underestimate the value of one. So I just want to, one more time, thank you from me and from all of us. So we appreciate everything you brought to the table today.
Oh, man, thank you, guys. I really appreciate being on Sportsapreneur. I can't wait to listen to this.
We'll let you know when it's live. Yeah. Thank you, Damo.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Damo, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From his four pillars of basketball, to his unique perspectives as a referee, and to his amazing gift to all of us to never underestimate the value of one, we are all better off from spending time with Damo. The way Damo shares his energy, his lessons, and his love for the game of basketball in his work and on this podcast specifically are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, Damo, thank you. And for any business owner or entrepreneur that has an interest in supporting the change in the sport of basketball at the youth level or overall, I would encourage you to reach out to Damo. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can contact me on Twitter at Eric_Kaz or with the same name on Instagram, or you can find us at kazsource.com with links to us on the different social networks. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. And until next time, we're out of here. A big thanks to Rods Racing for their support of this podcast and allowing us to contribute to their inspiring cause. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.